that hunger is like. Not the hunger of the thousands and thousands that Jesus filled last week when he fed the 5,000 who were starving, but the hunger in the soul. Hunger in your soul. Do you know what that's like? My brother was here yesterday with his two little girls. We went out for breakfast. It was later in the morning. And the youngest one, she's 5, she was hungry. And it's also mountain time. She's used to central time. So she's sitting in the booth. So waiting in the little cafe. And she's starting to like melt down. She's like, I'm hangry. Do you know what that's like? We know what that's like in the body, right? And you know sort of how you respond to that when you're physically hungry. You know the effect it has on you when your stomach is just growling. But do you know what that's like in the soul? Like, how do you respond to that? What effect does that have on you when you're hungry in the soul? How would you describe that to someone? You also know the worst time to go to the grocery store is when you're hungry physically. You want to consume everything you see. You end up buying way too much. But when you're hungry in the soul, are you aware of the dangers of what you're tempted to consume then as well? Our culture is very good at whatever age it's at to try and offer to feed us and to sell us things that will feed our soul. But do you know in your own soul the things that you seek out to consume when you're hungry there? The news, social media, just channel surfing or doom scrolling with this insatiable hunger that's there. Do you know the effect that that hunger has on you and on your life? The Israelites in the Exodus reading, they're starving. Moses has brought them out of slavery by the hand of God, and they're in the desert now. And they're starving, and they're starting to complain, and they're grumbling against him, saying, let us go back to Egypt, to the place of slavery, where at least we had lots of food to eat, all these great things we could eat there. Here we're starving. And so the Lord God, he sends to them, in the midst of their starvation, in the desert, he sends manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Bread from heaven and flesh for them to eat. And in the morning, as the dew evaporated, he sent this manna, which just literally means, what is this? This flaky-like substance. And we hear that God instructed them that in the morning when they go out, they're to gather only their daily portion. And no more. He did this to test them. Because he, here in Exodus, isn't just feeding their hunger in their bellies. He's also doing something in their souls. Forming their souls. And he tells them, when you go out in the morning, when you gather for your family, you gather only what you need on that day. If out of a sense of hoarding, or God might not send this tomorrow, you gather excess. Do you know what happened to that excess manna that they gathered? It rotted. It became filled with maggots. Real appetizing, right? But he was feeding not just their hunger, but he was doing something in their souls. Do you know what that's like? To have to trust in this radical way that God is going to provide for you, It's why in the Our Father we pray, give us this day what? Our daily bread. That God will provide what one needs in that day. And that not having some sense of having to grasp at things oneself and hoard things, but trusting in God that he does something in the soul. He stretches it and he transforms it. But it doesn't lessen the hunger in the soul as he's doing this. It only makes one more aware of the hunger that's there. But do you know what that's like to have to depend on God in that way? That every day he will provide for you. I ask you this because last week and this week there's this massive crowd that Jesus fed, and this massive crowd of thousands, 5,000, not counting the women and children, so thousands are gathered to Jesus. They followed him now because he's fed their physical need. He's entering into one of his most important teachings now in John 6. And in the next coming weeks, it's going to unfold where he speaks of the bread of life, that he is the bread of life, that he has come to feed the hunger in the souls of humanity with his very self, with his flesh and his blood. And this crowd of thousands, by the end of the teaching, they're whittled down to just a few. Even his closest followers, in light of this teaching, they left him and they went back to their former ways of life. But to be aware of the hunger that he is going to be speaking of in his teaching in John 6 on the bread of life and what he's preparing his people for, he's preparing for when he will give them himself in the Eucharist, and he's preparing their souls so that they're aware there's a hunger that's there. And it's not like my physical hunger. It's similar, but it's so different. You can have a full belly and you can have a full life where everything is provided and your soul can still be starving. If that's the case, are you aware of that? Are you able to say, my soul is hungry? This is what Jesus will be diving into, and he speaks of it today, saying, I am the bread of life. That he himself is the only thing that satiates the hungry soul. And do you know what that's like? To have that hunger in your soul satiated. Where there's the peace of God, the presence of God that's there. Where your soul is fed. Today, August 4th, is the day in which usually the commemoration of St. John Vianney is celebrated. He's the patron saint of parish priests. He was a parish priest in France in the 19th century. And he spoke, he was a simple parish priest, but he was also something of a mystic. And he spoke of those couple minutes for the person who has just received Holy Communion. That those 5 minutes after you've received Holy Communion, that those are the most sacred 5 minutes of your entire week. And indeed, continually, those 5 minutes are the most sacred of your life on this earth. Because God, after you are baptized, he's present in his soul and divinity in your soul. But in those 5 minutes, he is present within you. In his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. The fullness of God. You become, in those moments when you go back to the pew, a living tabernacle, because you have received a little piece of heaven itself, which is the presence of God within you. You may have, when you go back to the pew, beautiful prayers that you pray, and do that. But if you go back to your pew and you're like, what do I do now in these moments? Do I just think of what we're going to have for lunch? There's a beautiful prayer that one can pray, and it's very simple, because it's what's at the depth of the hunger of every soul. If you don't know what to pray when you go back to the pew after you've received communion, just simply pray these three words to Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. And those of you who are married or have parents or have kids, you know that those words aren't always overflowing with just this amazing emotion, right? But those words are words that one chooses. They're words that are filled with truth and with desire. They're words that are filled with hunger. To pray to the Lord, who is as close to you in those moments as you will ever be between now and heaven. I love you. I love you. And as he gives the soul the peace and the ability to hear him, if one were able to, you would hear back the very same words him speaking to you. Hunger meeting hunger. I love you.